My guest at this time is Jessica Morales. She is a video reporter for Heart Energy based in Houston. For the past several years, she has also been a reporter and anchor at Fox affiliates in Tyler and Beaumont, Texas. And of course, Houston, as well as Beaumont and many other areas along the Texas Gulf Coast, are inundated by the floodwaters brought on by Hurricane and now Tropical Storm Harvey. She'll, in the next few minutes, talk about the devastation in Houston and Beaumont and Port Arthur, all along the Texas Gulf Coast, just receiving unfathomable amounts of rain north of 50 inches in some areas in the past week. So what are the ongoing challenges there, and how are the people faring? And Jessica, you've also spent some time with Radio America here in Washington. It's good to talk to you. I wish it was under different circumstances, but thanks very much for your time today.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on, Greg.
I've read reports in the last day or two that virtually all of Port Arthur was underwater as recently as Wednesday, and that the flooding has compromised the water system in Beaumont as the storm hit there more recently than Houston. What are some of the latest things you're hearing?
Yes, actually, I'm still, just as of not that long ago, less than an hour ago, I was watching them evacuate one of our major hospitals in Beaumont. They're having to get patients out of the hospitals because there is no water supply at all for the city of Beaumont. So they're having issues. Of course, they can't have running water in the hospital. So that's happening as of right now, where they're trying to evacuate people. The rain has stopped, but their water supply is so compromised, and that could be for days.
Where are folks being evacuated to from those areas? Because I've seen relief areas in Port Arthur, for example, that have subsequently flooded. So where are folks being moved to now?
Well, I know that they were moving folks that were in the nursing homes in Port Arthur. They were moving them to Conroe, Texas, so just north of Houston. They were moving them there by military helicopters yesterday. That's what they're doing. As far as I know, they're moving patients from the hospital in Beaumont to the Conroe hospitals. Where they go from there, I'm not sure yet.
Jessica, you are a Beaumont native, and you work in Houston, so both of these areas are very personal to you. Talk about your own experience in Houston and what your family's been through in Beaumont.
Well, yes, as you know, Harvey hit, of course, after moving from Port Aransas and devastating the Rockport area where it hit directly. Then the rain started moving into Houston. We started getting really bad weather, lightning, and, you know, of course, all the thunder that comes with that. Constant rain started coming into Houston on Friday, and areas started flooding that night. Thankfully, my husband and his family, my in-laws, my brother-in-law, we were all together, and the neighborhood we're in did not flood. And even people elsewhere in Houston that said they've lived in Houston for 30 plus years, their neighborhood has never flooded, but they were flooded out. Luckily us, we're in the southwest end of Houston, the Sharpstown area, and our neighborhood did not flood. It did outside, right outside the main road. There was some flooding issues, but not into the houses as far as I know. We saw some cars stalled out. Thankfully, we did not have flooding in the house. We did lose power for almost 48 hours. But thankfully, we're fortunate enough that that was the worst of it, because there's so many people we see that are, who knows when they'll be able to get back in their home. So thankfully, we didn't have any water in our home. So we've just been hunkered down, not getting out on the roads because of the flooding issues. But then the storm moved into the Beaumont area, and my dad, two of my siblings, grandparents, they're all in that area. They're in Nederland, which is right next to Port Arthur and Beaumont. And so that's the rain really started coming down on them just Tuesday. About Tuesday night is really when they started seeing issues. Then that night, or now all my days are running together. But night before last, my aunt started texting and putting on Facebook that water was coming into her house, and she wasn't sure what point she should call for a boat rescue. And I knew at that point that she couldn't get out of the house. Obviously, if the water's coming in the house, there's no way she can get her vehicle out. So I just got on social media and started finding rescue groups, because my cousin was calling 911 and they weren't answering. They weren't able to do anything as far as getting to people. They don't have the boats. So a lot of people were being rescued by Good Samaritans and just people that were coming from Louisiana with their boats, civilians. And so I just started contacting groups like that on social media. Someone told me there was a boat nearby my aunt's neighborhood when I posted her address, and they told me to tell her to go outside and just start yelling and waving for the boat. And that's what she did. And then a boat came by, got her and my cousin and their three cats, and got them to safety.
An amazing dramatic story. It's got to be so emotionally taxing when it's so personal, as well as your neighbors and the entire community being affected by this. Jessica, you mentioned the trauma of watching water come in the house. Obviously, it's probably mm-hmm. different for different folks depending on the topography of the land and so forth. But from what you're hearing, once that starts happening, how much time do they have to get out?
Like you said, it does differ in different areas, but that's why I asked my aunt. I said, is the water rushing in? How quickly is it coming in? She said, I wouldn't say it's rushing, but it's rising quickly. And I told her to open the door to see how the current was in the street, because that's what I was hearing, that a lot of people didn't realize how heavy the current was when it picked up. I even saw here in Houston the manhole covers being uncovered, you know, just by the floodwater. So I knew that that could be an issue too for her street, as far as current. So she said the water was slowly rising in her house, but it was constantly rising. And then by the time she got out, she walked out of her house and it was up to her hips in her yard. And so that water wasn't rushing in, but then I had my great aunt, actually, she's in the Lumberton area, which is also right next to Beaumont, a little north of Beaumont. She opened her front door when her neighbor came to check on her, and the water started rushing in her front door, so they called rescue for her. It's honestly, it could be minutes once the water starts coming in, depending on how close you are to a creek or a bayou, which is where, you know, the current was really picking up on a lot of people. So for me, sitting here, I thought as soon as I knew there was water in my aunt's house, and she was panicking really and not sure when she should call. She said, I don't know if I should call yet because I know there's other people that have more water in their house, so they may be in more danger. So, but I thought there's no way to know how much time you have, and you could wait too long by just minutes, because if it starts rising too much where you can't walk out of there, then there's the real issue.
We're talking with Jessica Morales, video reporter for Heart Energy in Houston, longtime Fox reporter for stations in Beaumont and Tyler, Texas. So she knows the area extremely well. She's a native of the area. And Jessica, tell us a little bit about the big picture. We see, obviously, the devastation all the way along the coast and now up into Louisiana. At the same time, it seems as though, at least from the reports we're seeing, is that for the most part, while a lot of people are clearly overcome by emotion, the community spirit remains incredibly strong as people work to and past the point of exhaustion to help rescue their neighbors. So how would you describe what you're seeing in that community?
It's truly amazing, and it is very empowering. And I think that the spirit of people wanting to keep helping and not quit is helping the survivors as well, just give them a little more energy, if that's even possible. Because I'm seeing social media is an incredible thing. Of course, sometimes it's negative, but in this instance, it's been so positive, because I got my aunt rescued through Facebook, because I was able to be contacted with someone that knew there was a boat nearby my aunt. And I've seen a lot of people were able to be rescued through Twitter, Facebook, you know, alerting people. And I also just saw just a few minutes ago before we got on the phone that they're calling themselves the Cajun Navy, some of them, and then there's other groups too. They're just out there, you know, on their own with no name or anything like that. But that they were actually turning away restaurants, were trying to bring them in, you know, feed them a hot meal. And some of those rescuers right now are saying, no, we don't want to stop to eat right now. We still have people to rescue. And that is truly amazing. My husband and I drove yesterday. We were able to get out a little bit, and we drove past a group of men that were just standing in a parking lot on their phone next to their boat. One man just had his socks on. You could tell he was soaking wet. They were looking on their phone, I'm sure, to find out where they could go next for the rescue. And these people aren't even stopping. You know, they haven't slept. Some of them are not stopping to eat. It's incredible that people will just sacrifice themselves like that just to help someone else. It's amazing.
Jessica, this goes back a few years now, but when I first met you, I think it was about 2006, and the area had just gotten leveled by Hurricane Rita, and it was still very much in the recovery phase, even roughly a year later from 2005. Talk about, from that experience, what you know it'll take to bring this area back, especially when it would appear that the magnitude is even quite a bit greater than it was then.
Mm-hmm. It's something that our area, unfortunately, you know, we live in the area prone to hurricanes, Southeast Texas. So I've grown up my whole life evacuating, my parents preparing us for what could come. Rita was very devastating for our area. Took off my dad's roof, collapsed the roof there. That was a lot of wind damage there. That from Rita, you know, it took a while. There was flooding in areas from Rita. Took a while. I would say one of my friends, it took about a year for their house to get back to normal, as you could say, as far as rebuilding when they were flooded out. This magnitude is much greater as far as flooding. A lot of people can't even get back into their homes. I was talking to one of my friends last night who was able to get in her home, and they already started ripping up carpet because they're afraid of mold setting in. They fortunately were able to at least get back in their home and start doing that. Some people can't do that yet. People that can't do that, the mold, things are going to set in. It's going to be months before they can really start rebuilding all of it, I think, as well. It's an area that is always helps their neighbors, though. I know that kind of sounds cliche, but and you see that on TV. There's hashtags out there, Houston Strong, and pray for, you know, Beaumont. But it really is true that the Southeast Texans take care of each other. Even our neighbors in Louisiana have come in and are just texting people and asking where I can go next to rescue someone. So it's going to take a while, but I can see also the city officials. I've been just monitoring the way that they are handling their interviews, the way they're talking to everyone. And it really seems like there's a lot of preparing going into this. You can't possibly know what's all going to come, but it seems like everyone is really working together to try to figure out the best way to move forward. And whether that's getting people back into their homes or getting people the help they need for contractors. I saw earlier today there's already people volunteering and ripping out baseboards and things like that in the Conroe area, and then outside of Houston areas that are Kingwood is really badly flooded as well. There are people already out there with, you know, chainsaws, things like that. So people know how important it is to get moving quickly. And I think they're feeding off of each other, too, knowing that they're not doing it alone.
The community spirit has been absolutely inspiring for anyone who's spent any time watching this, and I would imagine just about everyone has over the past several days. Last question is more on the business side than the personal side. Obviously, saving lives, putting lives back together is the most important mm-hmm. things, and we've talked about the heroism involved there. But the Texas Gulf Coast is also a critical area for refining, and there I know there's some concern about shortages, at least in that immediate area, maybe even further throughout the state of Texas or even along the Gulf Coast. What can you tell us about the impact of all of this on that?
It is huge. My father just recently retired from ExxonMobil, so he just retired from the refinery, but he was telling me the other night when I was checking on them that this is such a huge impact because there is such a huge percentage of, you know, oil that comes from our area, and they're shut down. They were flooded out in Motiva, one of the biggest plants in the Port Arthur area. They had to close down because of the flooding. Everyone was safe there, but they couldn't leave, and they obviously can't keep working at that time. They still have to start getting all those things, all the refineries powered back up. That's going to take a while. They can't do that in floodwaters. Parts of the refineries, they can get back going, but that is a scary part of it because I was even told my goal is to try to get to my family this weekend and see if I can start helping my aunt pull things out of her house. But also I was told if you're coming into town, please bring water, bottled water, and have gas, because they said make sure you either, if you can bring gas to give it to the rescuers or other people, first responders, do that, but at least have it in your car, because they said gas is already running low at the gas stations there because they're trying to keep the first responders gassed up, you know, for their relief efforts, and they're not able to make it, put the gas out right now, obviously, because of the refineries being closed down. Not all of them, but most of them are having that issue. So this is going to be a huge impact, too, because we service so much of the world, of the U.S., so they're going to have to really, really bear a lot of responsibility there, which I know is also scary for them. And there's also gas prices are going to go up because of this, too, because it's simply the only way that it can happen.
Yeah, supply and demand will definitely be affected by that. Jessica, so many different aspects to this. Obviously, the crisis ongoing for far too many people still, and those efforts to help and rescue them continue. And as you've mentioned, both from your own experience and obviously given the amount of devastation we've seen, the work ahead is almost incalculable. Thank you so much for walking us through what it's like in the community there over these past few days.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate all the outpouring support. It's come from all over the U.S., and everyone in this area is absolutely feeling it, and it's helping people power on.
Jessica Morales is a video reporter for Heart Energy in Houston. For many years, she was also a reporter and anchor for Fox affiliates in Beaumont and Tyler, Texas. She's also a native of the Beaumont area. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.